leave me with this joint?
Well, yeah.
Son of a bitch.
Tough be sometimes. You know, I love talking through a microphone. Like, there was one night where we were just hanging out. We were all hanging out here and you were somewhere else, right? And, yeah, I was mic'd up and Mana was mic'd up. And I was like, I don't know. I just loved it. Like, every time I'd speak from back there at the drum set, I'd just be like, yeah. Yeah, no, that's factual. <You know?
laughs> Just pipe up. We need to mic up your drums.
Yeah. I'm into it.
Yeah, Loser Boyfriend's turning out good.
Yeah.
I'll show you the mix of it, too. We got a new song coming out called Loser Boyfriend.
Yeah, Loser Boyfriend will be cool.
Also, this is the first episode of Outlaws After Dark. I think we just got started. I mean, it rolled.
Yeah. We were just doing our thing.
We're hanging out here in Coop's Place Studio. We got Hayden Brown in here, drummer for the Outlaws in the Golden State.
What up?
Miss Shelby over there, helping us finish the joint and check facts whenever she would like to. Which we might need. Speaking of, we need a fact about Annie Oakley. Can you pull her up, please?
Yeah, can we? Is there a quote or something we can get?
Yeah, at least a picture. We can worry about the camera later.
Yeah.
Maybe that's it. Maybe we'll do the video right now of the music. We're featuring one of Hayden's songs. What's it called?
This is called Feeling Like the Devil.
Feeling Like the Devil. Well, Annie Oakley's looking like the devil.
Oh my
goodness. Oh my gosh. Jeez, Annie Oakley.
She probably look better with a set of Oakleys on.
The pigtails work, though.
The pigtails work.
Yeah.
She made a lot of money shooting that gun, though.
I imagine.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do something you love.
She'd probably make a lot of money podcasting.
She'd probably make a killing podcast.
She'd be talking about guns and then like, all right, we're going to take a sponsor break from MeUndies. When I'm shooting my 22 at ducks, I like to wear MeUndies.
Yeah.
Some fucking underwear commercial.
Yeah. Ah, oh, jeez.
Annie Oakley was actually not her real name.
What was her real name? This is history.com. The fifth of seven surviving children, Oakley was born Phoebe Ann Moses.
Well, that's not close at all.
Dang. August 13th, 1860, in rural Dark County, Ohio. Although she became a Wild West folk hero, the sharpshooter spent her entire childhood in the Buckeye State. Dude, like, that's why she learned to shoot so good. She was in Ohio, like... Yeah. When I was in the Air Force, so many people came from Ohio.
Yeah.
And I was like, why do you come from Ohio? They're like, well, there's nothing to do, and there's an Air Force museum. Shit, you not.
Well, yeah, no, that makes sense. I mean, no offense to people from Ohio, but...
Oh, if they're in the Air Force, and if you're one of those people, you could take offense. You know who I'm talking about. Bactle. And Kelby Gibson.
Relation?
No relation.
Gibbons. Gibson.
Dude, I got called Gibson so much in my life. It was ridiculous.
I can imagine.
It was always on the first day of school.
Naturally. Well, the best guitarist, though. Gibson's rad.
Yeah. I got a pair of Shaps for farriering, and they say Gibbons on them. They're the Gibbons brand from England, but it's G-I-B-B-I-N-S, and it bugs me every time I see it.
Oof, it's Gibbons, yeah. Not Gibbons.
Not Gibbons. Fucker. So we got Feeling Like the Devil. What inspired you?
What
would you say? Like, what were you doing when, I know you were playing with your guitar, I reckon.
Yeah.
But, like, was there any special setting where you're like,
Well, it was, like, I don't know. I was sitting there, and I was actually playing over the chords of That Summer by Garth Brooks, just playing through it, and, you know, and I was like, what if I take out, like, that first little verse section, and I just did it really slow. like really calm and really cool. And then I was like, well, I don't really have any slow songs, so like what do I write about? And then I figured like kind of it's not really a love song, but it's like more of like I'm longing for this, you know, like this is something that I want eventually, is like to have that relationship where like, you know, she's backing me up, I'm backing her up, yada yada. And that's like where it comes into lyrics, like I'd give the world to that woman, like that's where that comes in. So I was just feeling not necessarily lonely, but like, you know, someday I could be like that. I could find myself in that.
Looking towards the future.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Cool. What do you see in the future?
Well, I don't know. I mean, like, I'd like to pursue music for the rest of my life, I think. Like, no matter what, I think that's...
It's a good hole to dig in.
That's the goal. I mean, it's fun, man. It's totally consumed my life. I've only been singing and playing on stage for a little over a year now, but like...
A little over a year?
Yeah.
That's right. I keep forgetting, like...
Yeah.
Yeah. When was the first gig? It was the Poorhouse, right?
Yeah.
With us? Or when was your first gig? When was your first time on stage that's like...
So I guess...
When's your anniversary?
So my first gig singing and playing on stage was at Champs with you guys, and that was after Cooper passed away. Shout out to Cooper Landrum.
Cooper Landrum, we're in Coop's Play Studio where we got... is easily named because when Mr. Cooper passed, we ended up inheriting his sign. So it says Coop's Place on it. So we're like, what's the name for your studio? Well, we don't have to make a sign.
Yeah, yeah. Easy enough, but it's rad. Yeah. It's crazy how, you know, one man can... start so much. I mean, yeah, for like I said, music has consumed me, and it is basically because of Cooper, because like I started playing drums for you because of Cooper, through Cooper, and then he passed away, and I started playing guitar and singing on stage, and that was that kind of in memory, you know.
And it's kind of a role that never stops.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you find yourself chasing kind of a high on stage?
Yeah, I mean, I do. It's, there definitely ain't no feeling like it, you know? It's just amazing. Especially when you please a crowd, like, that's...
No matter what size.
Yeah, that's the top of it. No, and really, honestly, like, I could be playing for my parents. Like, my mom likes me to do, that Pink Floyd song I do, Wish You Were Here. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and... She likes that one, and even that to me is like, oof, yeah.
Yeah. It's cool because it feels like our first songs that we learn and our styles are super developed by the music our parents listen to.
Yeah.
Because it seems like that's so familiar, like, because absolutely. A lot of that outlaw country was kind of my mom's shtick, and like, so a lot of the first songs I learned was Johnny Cash and stuff like that. Like, my mom never listened to Pink Floyd, but different eras, like, it's pretty cool.
Absolutely. Well, it's like, my relationship with music is very influenced by that, I'd say, because, like, my mom's kind of where I get the folkier tones, which is, like, I just learned a Bob Dylan song the other day.
Oh, cool. Which one?
Tonight I'll Be Staying Here With You.
Oh, what album's that off of? Do you know?
I have no clue.
Shelby, would you mind checking that out?
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Thank you, sweetheart.
What is it called?
Tonight I'll Be Staying Here With You by Bob Dylan. But I heard that song on the radio. I heard it on, I have SiriusXM, and, you know.
It's pretty serious.
Yeah, it is. But I heard it on the radio, and I was like, dude, that's a great song. That's a fantastic song. So that's the one I learned lately. But that's what I get from my mom. My mom's, like, very much Bob Dylan-y, like, all that. She likes Pink Floyd. She likes Simon and Garfunkel. Like,
oh, Simon and Garfunkel. They do have a sweet spot, huh? Nashville Skyline? Nashville Skyline?
Yeah, that is. It is, yeah. Nashville Skyline.
There we go, Nashville Skyline.
Yeah, he actually has it on multiple albums, but the one I learned is off Nashville Skyline.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Now, we, talking about being on stage... you know, we go to a lot of open mic nights and we see, you know, a lot of the newer artists up there. Mm-hmm. And we all know that feeling, you know, that feeling of the shakiness, the kind of nervousness. What are some tricks you use to kind of help get over that or, like, move forward as an artist? Because we know that that can be such a barrier getting past.
Absolutely.
And how do you get past that?
So, well, a big thing for me was stopping on stage for a minute, you know, and that was a hurdle that I had to go through. And basically, I just kind of did it over and over again, really. Like, you just being more on that stage, getting that exposure kind of makes you a little more comfortable, makes you ease up a bit better. But another thing is I don't look at the crowd. Like, you know, like, I make it seem like I look at the crowd, but there's always a corner to stare in, you know?
Or foreheads.
Yeah, or foreheads, anything. But, like, I cannot look people in the eye. That's the worst on stage, because then I just don't know if I'm looking serious enough.
I hate when they have the TVs going, except, like, the one in the corner that you can look at.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, we've talked about it before. That one TV in that corner is the perfect TV. especially when there's something stupid on, like, NASCAR or anything, and it's just like, oh, yeah. Yep, I'm just playing here jamming. But now I have a problem with forgetting lyrics on stage, which, give or take, is due to practice. Like, you just gotta practice, and that's the way to do it. I really like what I like to call the Jake Gibbons method, which is not coming up with a set list. Mm-hmm. Like, kind of just flying by the seat of your pants, because it's kind of more fun that way.
I hate to break it to you, but I think other people might use that method.
Well, I'm sure, but, you know, that's what I know it from.
Here in Lincoln.
Yeah. But, no, it's just, it's more fun that way.
Well, I feel like as a band, it helps us know our stuff better, because you don't know what's coming next. It keeps it exciting, and I think as a show, it makes it better, too, in a lot of ways, because sometimes you got, you know, the older crowds that do want the calmer, more, like, sometimes you want to hear Poncho and Lefty versus,
oh yeah,
you know,
well, and it's
Prison Blues or something, you know.
It's just fun, especially like gigs that are split between anybody. Like, it's just more fun, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't know, especially if, like, I'm opening up for you, like, I don't know. I don't know what you're going to play. You don't know what I'm going to play. Heck, we could play the same things.
We could, or we could have the same plan. But, it's almost like having a deck of cards in your hand. You're like, okay, what are we doing tonight?
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's fun.
Yep. No, it is. Yep.
What are some of your inspirations in your songwriting, you think?
I was thinking about this the other day, and I think Cooper Landrum a lot.
Hugely.
I think I really grabbed a lot from him, because I was like, yeah, because that's what got me into it. That's what inspired me to get into it in the first place, because I was half-heartedly like, yeah, Coop could do it. It can't be that bad. But it also inspired me just because he was a brilliant songwriter.
Let's talk a little bit more about Cooper. You know, people at shows hear a lot about him, and, you know, there's a small group of people. Well, mostly our crowd that shows up. Thank you. Holler.
Yeah.
We've probably seen people that are going to listen to this.
Thanks.
You know, oh, man, where were we going?
Oh, we were talking about Cooper.
Oh, yeah. Like, what's your first memory with Cooper? Like, how has your guys' relationship over the years affected you, and how does it show in music now?
So I met Cooper at church when we were like 16, maybe 15, something like that.
Troublemaking age at church.
Yeah, troublemaking age at church. I mean, yeah, just doing stupid stuff in the parking lot. And I don't know. I don't remember the first time I met him, but I know that, like, we hit it off pretty quick.
Did you ever get in trouble at church?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's what, come on, can you give us
one? Okay, yeah, I'll give you something. My one time, me, Cooper, and Joey, our friend who also passed away, unfortunately.
R.I.P. Joey.
Yeah. Me, Cooper, and Joey were sitting out in the parking lot, and we were vaping, because, you know, that's what kids do. Yeah. And so we were vaping, and all of a sudden, our pastor, our youth pastor, comes out, and he's like, "Hey, what are you guys doing?" You know? Like, he knew he could see the clouds naturally, but, like, he came out, and I was young and very innocent. And, I straightened right up. I was like, he knows what we were doing. I'm gonna tell him what's up. And I was like, yeah, we were vaping. Don't tell my mom.
Please.
Yeah. And it all turned out well.
Sanctuary.
But, yeah. Yeah. But, I met Cooper at church, and that's how that relationship started. We hit it off right away. We hung out a lot. We didn't hang out as much in high school, I remember that, because he went to a different school. I went to a different school.
He went to a couple different schools.
He did go to a couple different schools, but life was just busier back then. Anywho, we started hanging out more when I was an adult, and like when I turned 18, and we were just hanging out, being dumb, just hung out every day for a while, for like 2 years. But he really affected me in songwriting, because he was one of my best friends, and he was a brilliant songwriter, just absolutely amazing. He did stuff that'd blow your mind sometimes, and then he wouldn't write it down, and it would just be gone to the wind.
And there it goes.
Yeah, but...
He was hungry.
Yeah.
He loved it.
Yeah, he did. He did, even when he swore he didn't, he did. He'd just get back up on that stage, but...
I know, there'd be a few times where I figured he'd be like, "Oh, I think I'm gonna give it up for a little while."
Yeah.
Like, "Hey, Coop, you wanna come down?"
Yeah,
I'll be there.
Yeah, well, and I understand it, honestly, because, like, sometimes I feel like I'm not good enough to make it, but you and I have talked about that, like, the whole Manifest Destiny thing, and how we feel positive about it, but, like, there are times when I'm like, I don't know how I feel about it. Like, I don't know if I'm gonna be able to make this my living. But every time I get a call for that stage, dude, it's like, yeah, I'll take it.
Yeah, dude, I really think a lot of it is just learning how to hustle, in my experience, because it's a lot of the artists, until you're selling the big amphitheaters, you're not making really huge amounts on ticket sales.
Absolutely.
But when you merchandise, and I think that's a lot of the way, and then having albums and getting those out and having hard copies of stuff, it really does, I think, go for something.
Yeah.
And then also, like, I know we've talked about opening music stores or, you know, recording services and stuff like that. And there's a grand spectrum of making it, because I mean, how many one hit wonders are out there that we've never heard of? Like, and technically they've made it, but
yeah, no, really. I mean,
like, making it is just kind of a spectrum. It's finding a way to make your hustle and make it so you can eat every day.
Yeah.
Like, it's a spectrum. It's not a line. There's no end.
Absolutely.
I don't feel like.
I agree. I agree that no matter what, I'll find a way to incorporate it in my life.
Yeah, and that's really it.
Yeah. I think, I mean, really, to me, music's fun. Like, I'm really in it for the fun.
And if it loses that, it ain't no fun.
Yeah, no, it really becomes sad and boring. Like, I don't know.
Like,
but
a job.
Yeah, but... You know, I don't know. Music isn't like that. It's just vibey. How can you not have fun? You know?
That's a good way to put it. Well, yeah. We're gonna leave it at that. And we'll probably have Mr. Hayden in here for next time. Cause we gotta get some more podcasts down before we can get in here. Hopefully we'll get the Wolf Creek Boys in here too. I bet you they'd be up for it.
Yeah. Oh no, I'm sure.
Killer. You gotta check out Outlaws in the Golden State. We're gonna get a recording here and a video of Mr. Hayden. Check us out on YouTube. This is gonna be titled Feeling Like the Devil.
That it is.
By Hayden Brown at Coop's Place.
Check us out at the Boardwalk on the 30th.
We're also at the Boardwalk on the 30th of October. And what's the last one? Oh, yeah, dude. This Saturday, the 23rd, we're at the Speakeasy in Lincoln. And I found out, with Dustin my coffee, we're at Dueling Dogs on Friday.
On this Friday?
Yeah.
Nice.
Dude, so that's going to be a fun show.
That's way cool.
Hopefully this is out by then. Make it on out, guys. We'll see you there. Feeling Like the Devil. Thank you.
Sometimes I feel just like the devil, running round causing the rain. When she throws her arms around me, yeah, she's all my pain. When I get too tired of breathing, she reminds me why I'm here. When I come home drunk and hungry, she has a way to kill my fear. Oh Lord, I need her loving like the ocean needs a moon, like the whispering winds of winter. She came and left again too soon. I'd give the world to that woman if she'd only come around. Said I'm left here feeling lonely, regrets drag me back down. Many miles away. Maybe then I'd quit my rambling, everything'd be okay. Till then I'll keep on wandering through the world here all alone, looking for that special someone, the person I call my home.